Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We continue our sermon series on the book of Genesis. The readings are taken from 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 9, and Genesis 25, verses 19 to 26. The talk is given by Nigel Bright, one of our church wardens, and is entitled Isaac, Quiet Faithfulness. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Good morning. The first reading this morning is from 1 Peter 1, Living Hope. Let us give thanks to God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, because of his great mercy he gives us new life by raising Jesus Christ from death. This fills us with living hope as we look forward to possessing the rich blessing that God keeps for his people. He keeps them for you in heaven, where they cannot decay or spoil or fade away. They are for you who, through faith and kept safe by God's power, for the salvation which is ready to be revealed at the end of time. Be glad about this, even though it may now be necessary for you to be sad for a while, because of the many kinds of trials you suffer. Their purpose is to prove that their faith is genuine. Even gold, which can be destroyed, is tested by fire, and so your faith, which is more precious than gold, must also be tested so that it may be endured. Then you will receive praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed. You love him, although you have not seen him, and you believe in him, although you did not now see him. So you rejoice with the great and glorious joy, which is the words cannot express, because you are receiving the salvation of your souls, which is the purpose of your faith in him. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Genesis chapter 25, starting at verse 19 and going to 26. This is the account of the descendants of Abraham's son Isaac. Isaac's father was Abraham. When Isaac was 40 years old, he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel the Aramean from Padanaram, and sister of Laban from Aramean. Isaac appealed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord gave heed to his entreaty, and Rebekah conceived. The children pressed on each other in her womb, and she said, "If all is well, why am I like this?" She went to seek guidance of the Lord, who said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, two peoples going their own ways from birth. One will be stronger than the other. The elder will be servant to the younger." When her time had come, there were indeed twins in her womb. The first to come out was reddish and covered with hairs like a cloak, and they named him Esau. Immediately afterwards, his brother was born, with his hand grasping Esau's heel, and he was given the name Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when they were born. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Is my mic working? As we're talking about quiet faithfulness today, let's just take a moment of quiet as we prepare to think about the readings that we've just had. Lord, we ask you to be with us this morning. To open our ears, to open my mouth to speak the right words that you want to speak to all of us. In your name, Lord. Amen. did strike me, that last song that we sung, I think, Richard, was it you that chose the songs today? How apt it is for what we're thinking about today. Because it very much talks about being very rooted in our life, Christ being there rooted in our life. And although Isaac wouldn't have known, because he lived so many years before, it just seemed to strike me, when we were sitting there and singing, how apt that hymn, that song was. So if you get a chance to go reflect back on those words later on, I would urge you. How many of you watched... Oh, Martin got it ready for me. How many of you watched the programme, Who Do You Think You Are? If you don't know the premises, if you don't know the premise, that each week, each programme, a different celebrity delves back into their family tree to find out what happened in their family's past, some of which might have shaped where they are now. This might include major historical events or just small local events. It might reveal particular traits that the person recognises in themselves. Family history is such a fascinating thing, isn't it? Earlier this year, I met up with my brother in Salisbury because we wanted to search out two plaques. There are two plaques like this in Salisbury. And it actually commemorates one of my ancestors, John Maundrell, because he was one of the three people burnt at the stake in Salisbury, because he wouldn't convert back to Catholicism. This is a copy of a passport that was my nan's, who decided at 18, quite young from when she was living, just to take herself off to America to visit two uncles, unmarried uncles. It is stamped with Ellis Island. She had to go through Ellis Island, and she wasn't allowed into the country straight away because they wanted to check out why she was going to visit these two uncles. When it came to renew a passport, the passport office wanted to keep her passport for a while and pass it round because they hadn't seen one stamped with Ellis Island. I can recognise that independent trait streak in one of my daughters, who is very adventurous and knows her own mind. In our passage today, we have several times see in Genesis particular family tree of Abraham. In the last 3 weeks, we've looked in detail at Abraham, and what have we learned so far from that story? We've learned that God's call creates a future when none is possible. We learned that God's promises are not dependent on perfection. And we've also learned that God is faithful, even when the promise seems impossible. Our passage today from Genesis is part of two sections, starting in verse 12, that record firstly the descendants of Ishmael, and then in our passage, the descendants of Abraham's son Isaac. Previous chapters tell us about Isaac's early life, but we now pick up the story when Isaac is older. Isaac seems not to have been a man of action. We can only surmise that he seems to have spent his days in quietness, silence, and probably prayer. We have no more evidence. We pick up his story when he is 40 years old, when his father arranges for a servant to find Isaac a wife. This he does, and at 40, Isaac marries Rebekah. We now have a long period of time again elapsing before the next significant event. I wonder how long Isaac prayed and appealed to God for a child, for a son that he wanted as an heir. We can only think it was a length of time that it took Rebecca to become pregnant, some 20 years. He prayed. He entreated the Lord on behalf of his wife. Though God had promised to multiply the family, he did not just wait around for something to happen. He prayed and prayed for an increase. Though he had prayed for a child very often and continued that supplication for many years, it was not granted quickly. He still remained faithful. And in this passage, we're told that Isaac appealed on behalf of his wife. Some people read it as with his wife, because it was just not a prayer for himself. So we're given an example of praying for and with each other. Next part of the passage gives us an insight to Rebecca's pregnancy. They would have been overjoyed at conceiving. They would have known that God had kept his promise and was working on and protecting that growing life. I came across this short clip that I'm going to show you, and it reflects a Psalm 119, verses 13 to 14. And that part of that psalm says, "You knitted me together in my mother's womb." This is the spine developing in a fetus. The writer of the psalm wouldn't have been able to see that, but doesn't it look like God knitting together all those nerves in that fetus? But this didn't put an end to their trials. We're told that Rebecca experienced significant discomfort in her pregnancy, as there was a lot of pressing on the womb. Rebecca probably was challenged by this, and we're told she went to seek guidance of the Lord. We're not told whether she was aware that she was bearing twins prior to this. No scans available at that particular time. And certainly, she was fully aware after she had spoken to the Lord, because she was told, "Two nations are in your womb, two peoples going their own way from birth. One will be stronger than the other. The elder will be the servant of the younger." Isaac had faithfully prayed for a son, and now his wife was pregnant with two children. Was this God's way of recommencing Isaac for all his faithfulness? God often outdoes our prayers and gives us more than we are able to ask for. That information given to Rebecca upon her inquiry must have been quite a surprise or a shock to both her and Isaac. She was now pregnant, not only with two children, but the two she had would represent two nations. They would differ not only in their manners and dispositions, but also in their interests. They would clash and contend with each other, and the result of the contest would be that the elder, Esau, would have to serve the younger, Jacob. What Rebecca and Isaac thought about this, of course, we just don't know. Isaac has shown through his life a quieter approach to his father and to the previous generations. He also showed a steady obedience. So we can speculate that perhaps initially, after being taken aback, he would have trusted in God's wisdom for them and quietly remained obedient to God's will. Rebecca would also have had to remain patient and calm through this. And it must have been quite a difficult pregnancy with two boys at odds with each other in the womb. Now, those of you who ever had children probably spent some time wondering what the newborn would look like. What would they be like? Quiet, lively, unsettled, calm? We see in verses 25 and 26 that Rebecca and Isaac's twins were markedly different. The firstborn came out reddish and covered in hairs like a cloak, so much so that they gave him his name, which meant reddish or man of the fields, Esau. When the second son came, they saw that the baby's hand was grasping the older brother's heel and was thus given the name Jacob, which can mean heel catcher or supplanter. As we see in later verses and chapters, the natural succession of the elder inheriting the land, possessions, and leadership was not to be so. God had promised Abraham and then Isaac that they would be fathers of a new nation, something into the future. Isaac had waited patiently for the sons, particularly Jacob, who would continue that promise. Let us look back at that other passage that was read to us from Peter. And I'm going to read part of it again. And while I read it, I'd ask you just to think about Isaac's perspective in that reading. His long wait to be married, the further 20 years waiting for blessings of his son. So think about Isaac in light of this reading. What does it say to us? So 1 Peter 1, verse 4 to 7. In his great mercy, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, he gave us new birth into living hope, the hope of an inheritance reserved in heaven for you, which nothing can destroy or spoil or wither. Because you put your faith in God, you are under the protection of his power until the salvation, now in readiness, is revealed at the end of time. This is cause of great joy, even though you for a little while may have had to suffer trials of many kinds. Even gold passes through the sayer's fire, and much more precious than previsible gold is faith, which stands the test. These trials come so that your faith may prove itself worthy of all praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. We started by looking at family trees and the elements that impact upon and carry across generation to generation. We've seen in the story of Isaac that God's promise continued through the generations. Isaac was not a hero in that generation, but perhaps a quiet, faithful bridge from Abraham to Jacob. God was working through Isaac's ordinary obedience and faithfulness. The message of 1 Peter builds on that message. The writer asserts that the audience had been given a new birth and a living hope. The past. Their inheritance, the future, is currently being protected by the power of God, even if now they have to suffer a little. The present. The passage uses the word anagenesis, though translated as new birth or born anew, can also be rendered have begotten or regenerated. The writer may be emphasizing the renewing of the living hope that God has given us. Renewal and regeneration are not one-time events. They're an ongoing process. Therefore, when we feel challenged by difficulties, our faith reminds us that our living hope can be renewed. So the key things from our passages today are that God works through ordinary faithfulness across generations. We don't have to be heroes of the faith. This ordinary faithfulness, even though we might be living through trials, we have a living hope of an inheritance. That has been God's promise across the generations. Thanks be to God.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.